We're holding on set at Ches Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We started discussing the question, suppose a person tells a shliach to sell on his behalf a lesech's worth of land, where a lesech is the area where you could plant 15 saw. So it's half of lesech is half of a kor being 30 saw. So a base kor would be 75,000 square amos. So in this case, he's telling him to sell half that. Instead, the guy goes and sells a full kor. So the question is, can we consider that he's still on the first half, he's acting in the shlichus of the balabais of the mishaleach, and therefore that at least that half should be valid and the balabas shouldn't be able to retract that sale? Or do we say that the shliach has completely changed what he was told and therefore no part of the sale is valid at all? So we tried to bring a proof from a case involving the dinner of Me'ilah. So we said that's not a solid proof because over there in the case of Me'ilah, we said that the shliach is clearly telling the people what he's giving them on behalf of the balabas versus what he's giving them on his own. So now the Gemara continues, and this is why this sugya is here, because it relates back to our Mishnah. Toshma, hoisek subasa mana. We said in our Mishnah, if the woman's ksuba was 100 zuz, or machra shava meya v'dinar b'mana, she sold 101 zuz, 101 dinar worth of property for a mana. Michra bottle. So we said the sale is no good, and it has to be undone, and they have to do a proper sale because after all, her ksuba is only 100. So my love, the zabin shoving may have a dinner, but may have a dinner. Now on the face of it, when it says that she sold 101 for 100, what it actually means is for 100 that she was owed, meaning the actual purchase price of the actual sale price that she sold the property for was in fact 101. But that's wrong because her ksuba was supposed to be only 100. So we're not talking about that she misvalued how much the property is. What we're talking about is that she sold more than she was supposed to, more than the value of her ksuba. Umay b'mana, mana shalah. And when we say that she sold for a mana, we don't mean that she received 100 zuz from the buyer. What we mean is that she was supposed to sell for only a mana because she is owed only a mana for her ksuba. My afilu, and so then when the Mishnah says afilu, that even if she says afilu yameres achzer sadinah yoshim, even if she says I'll reimburse the yoshim the one dinner that I took that I wasn't supposed to, and we mean bedinah makauti, she means in other words that I'll buy one dinner's worth of land back from the yosomim and give it to them b'katoni michra bottle, and still we see that we're saying the sailor's bottle, implying that as long as any part of the sale was invalid, then the whole thing is invalid. So applying that to our original case that we asked about in the Gemara, where she sold 101, where a person tells a shliach to sell a lesech and he sells a kur, which is twice as much. So then we would say by the same logic, it would mean the whole thing is invalid. We wouldn't say that the part that he said to sell it is valid, because applying that to our case of a year, she would have had the right to sell 100 after all. She just doesn't have the right to sell 101. But the Gemara says, Amar of Huna Breder of Nasan Loi, that's not necessarily what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah may mean that she actually sold it for a cheaper price than it was supposed to be. She took 101 dinars worth of land and sold it for only 100. In the question, in the Toshma, the Gemara was assuming that it means she actually sold it for 101, but she wasn't supposed to do that because her ksuba is only 100. Now we're saying that actually, no. It means that she actually sold it for only the 100. So she received only 100, which is what she was supposed to receive for her ksuba, but she wasn't supposed to take 101 dinars worth of land for it, and therefore we're saying that's no good. So the Gemara asked, Hamid is safer but ozel, habi resha but aloy ozel. What do you mean though? The continuation of the Mishnah is talking about where she sold it at where she undervalued it and sold land cheaper than she was supposed to. Therefore, the resha, which we were just discussing, has to be talking about where she didn't do that, where she sold it at a fair market value. Otherwise, what's the chiddush of one part of the Mishnah over the other? Because Tony's safer, namely the safer of the Mishnah continues, Hosek Subasa Aramis Zuz, if her Ksuba was 400 Zuz, Machra Lazeba Mana Lazeba Mana, she started selling piecemeal, she sold 100 Zuz worth of land to one person, and 100 Zuz to another person, and so forth, and eventually she gets down to the last 100, Ola Achran Yofa Mana Medina Bamana, and then she sold to the last one 101 for the 100 that she was supposed to receive, shall achron michra bottle. Then we say only the last sale is bottle, because at that point she only had 100 outstanding. She's not supposed to sell 101. Vishal kolon michra and kayim, whereas all the previous sales are valid, because at that point she was still owed more than the amount that she sold them. That she sold them. So we see therefore. So that part of the Mishnah clearly is talking about where she undervalued it, because we're saying that she sold 100 at a time, and now she's owed, there's a remaining 100 that she's still owed, and that part, instead of selling 100, she sold something worth 101. So obviously we mean that she undervalued it, that instead of selling it for 101, she sold it for 100, and we're saying that part is good. And we're saying that that part is no good, but the earlier sales are fine. So that part obviously is talking about where she undervalued it. Therefore, necessarily, the earlier part of the Mishnah has to mean where she valued it properly, where she took 101 and sold it for 101. And we're saying that's no good because she was owed only 100. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush of one part of the Mishnah over the other? In fact, Tosfos says that we can't say the other way around, that maybe this last part of the Mishnah is talking about where she sold 101, and it would mean b'mona, would mean b'mona shalah, that she was supposed to get a mona, because the fact is, at this point, her ksuba to begin with was 400, not 100. So b'mona shalah wouldn't be an appropriate lashon for it. So the Gemara says loy, still not necessarily. Reisha but sefer but the oizel. You could still say that both the reisha and the sefer are talking about where she sold it at a price lower than she was supposed to. So in the reisha, we're talking about she was supposed to sell it for 100. She was supposed to sell this property. This property would have been worth 101, and instead she took it and sold it for 100, which we're saying is no good. So that doesn't prove anything. That has nothing to do with the fact that she should have sold only for, well, does have to do with the fact that she should have sold only for 100. Good morning, Abba Moshe. But it does have to do with the fact that she should have, so we're holding on the top of Tzadik Tesam and Aleph. So we could say the beginning and the end of the Mishnah are talking about Bidja Ozil, where she sold the property more cheaply than it was supposed to be. So she took in the Reisha, she took property that was supposed to be worth 101 and sold it for 100. And the problem why we say that sale is invalid, not because she, I mean, there it is, because she sold more than she was supposed to, but it has nothing to do with the case where she was, where she's supposed to sell X amount and she sells a larger amount, which was the original question was, we had, what if a person tells his shliach, sell a lesech's worth of my fields, and instead he goes and sells a kur, which is twice as much. Here, the fact is, these fields don't belong to her, beyond 100 zuz, doesn't belong to her at all. So there's nothing for her to sell. So in both cases, we're talking about, you know, of the Mishnah, we're talking about where she sold to, where she sold it at a cheaper price than she was supposed to. The sefer, Hakamash Malan, and then in the sefer, the chiddush is, if we're saying it's the same basic case, so what's the chiddush of the sefer? Taima de oizel b'diyasmi, only because she undervalued what was supposed to go to the assignment, because in the sefer, we're talking about that she had 400 zuz for her ksuba to begin with, and she started selling piecemeal 100 zuz at a time. And then in the last one, instead of selling for 100, she took a piece that was supposed to be worth 101 and sold it for 100. So only because she did that is it a problem. But when it comes to the earlier ones, then where we said she's selling 100 at a time, then if it was within her own michra kayim, then her sale would be valid. So in other words, like this, we said in the Mishnah, She sold to Reuven for 100, to Shimon for 100, to Levi for 100. Now at this point, she's supposed to have 100 left. And instead she sold to Yehuda for 100. She sold a piece worth 101 and charged only 100 for it. So we say that one Nichra bottle, because now she's undervalued something that belongs to the Yesomim. At that, the Yesomim are supposed to own this land. That's 101. She should have taken only 100's worth of it to sell. But the point the Mishnah is telling us by implication is that if she had sold Reuven for 100, if she had taken a piece worth 101 and sold it to Reuven for 100, then that would be fine. It would mean it's her loss of one dinar. So the Gemara says, "Hamadir Eishah Shamit Mina." Still, you don't need the Sefer to tell us to tell us that implication. We see that from the beginning of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, "Hoisa Ksubasa Masayim," that if her Ksuba was 200, "Umachra Shava Meyap Manav Masayim." And she sold 100, she took a piece of property that was supposed to be worth 100 and sold it for 200, or something that was supposed to be worth 200 and sold it for 100, niskabla ksubasa. Then she's received her ksuba and she has no further claims of the assignment. Now we see, we don't say michra bato, we don't say the sale is invalid. Why? Because we're saying it's her loss. So we know already that if she sells it at the wrong price, then it's her loss rather than the Yesomim's. But we don't say Michra Bato, we don't say that we cancel the whole sale. So why would we need the end of the Mishnah to be telling us? So in other words, it's one thing if the end of the Mishnah means that she actually sold property that was supposed to be worth 101 and she sold it for 100, then okay, that's a that she sold it for 101, then that's a chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though she sold it at the fair market value, the fact is she wasn't supposed to sell that amount of property because she has no right to collect 100 dinar. She has no right to collect 101 dinar. She has a right to collect 100. So now even she says to the Yoshim, "I'll go buy back part of that land to give back to you," then that's no good. And that would answer our question about the guy who sends his shliach to sell a lesech and instead he sends a kur, instead he sells a kur. But if you're telling me that the Mishnah, if you're telling me that the end of the Mishnah is just telling us you should know when she sold, the last sale was more than was a piece of property larger than she was supposed to take, because she was supposed to take a piece worth only 100 and she took a piece 101, then you're saying Michra Batel. Well, then there's no greater than and the implication is that we're saying that we're learning the implication from that if she did it with one of the earlier sales, whenever it's her loss, then the sale is not bottled. It just means that she has to take the loss. But we know that from earlier in the Mishnah. So what's the chiddush? The answer is still there is a chiddush in it. Ma'ud tema hosim hu di stalkel amehai beis alagambi. In the earlier case of the Mishnah, when she sold a piece of property that was supposed to be 100 and she sold it for 200 or vice versa. So then at that point, you could say her ksuba has been completely paid off. There's nothing further to do. So then we can say there's no reason to cancel the sale. We just tell her, listen, you received 200 or you received only 100, but the property was worth 200. So either way, tough luck. So therefore, we have no reason to void the sale. Avol hocha. But in the case later on in the Mishnah where she's selling piecemeal, she's selling 100 zuz of property at a time, and we're saying that if in the last one she were to take a piece worth 101 and sell it for 100, then it would be no good because at that point she still owed 100 only. So nigzer mona rishon otter mona achron. Shouldn't we make a gzera then that we should void any of the earlier sales? If she sells them for too much, because they might be confused with the last one. The same way as when we're saying when it comes to the last one, when the balance due is 100 and she takes a piece of property worth 101 and sells it. And we would say that that one is bottle because even though she sold it for 100, because the property was worth 101 and she wasn't supposed to sell such property, we should make such a gzera by the earlier ones as well. Instead of charging it to her account, instead of saying, okay, you sold to Reuven a piece of property worth 101, you sold it at only 100. That means so far you've been paid off 101 and your balance due is only 299 instead of 300. Maybe we should instead make a gzera that the sale should be void because it might be easily confused with the case where she sells to Yehuda for 101. So Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah would be telling us that it's not so. We don't make such a gzera. So it means, in other words, the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about any case where she actually sold a property larger than 100 for more than 100. In that case, then the din may well be that the sale is bought, but we can't necessarily prove that from the Mishnah. all we can prove from the Mishnah is that when she took the, when the property was larger than it was supposed to be, and she sold it for, and she undervalued it and sold it for the balance of her ksuba, then we're saying that's no good and the sale is void. But maybe if she were to have, if she were to have taken a piece of property worth 101, let's say, and sell it for 101, maybe indeed she could reimburse the Yoshim that one extra dinar and the sale, or maybe she'd have to buy back one dinar's worth of the land and give it to the Yisraimim. Not necessarily would the sale be valid as a whole, not necessarily would the sale be void as a whole, I should say. So therefore, you can't prove anything one way or the other about the original case that we asked about, where a person tells a shliach to sell a lesach's worth of land, and instead he sells a kor's worth of land. Okay, so there's no proof from the Mishnah one way or the other. So we're gonna revisit this. Not really revisit. At this point, the Gemara leaves alone that first lashon, and the Gemara says v'ikadam. Now there's another version of the original question. In the first version, the question was, again, Reuven tells Shimon, sell a lesach's worth of my land, which is a half a kur, and instead Shimon goes and sells a full base kur, twice the amount that he was supposed to, and the question is whether the sale is valid at all. Can the buyer say at least that a lesach was supposed to, it was supposed to be sold, that was within what the shliach was told to do, therefore you can't undo the sale of that lesach. You can obviously you can take back the other lesach because it was sold against your will, but I get to keep the first one and I don't have to reimburse you your money. Or do we say that the whole thing is void? So now there's another lashon, ikadami, another version of the question goes, the ikadami, holoti boilach, there would be no question. If Reuven says to Shimon, go sell a lesach, and he goes and sells a kur, which was the in the first version, that was the question. In the second version, we're saying there's no question, there's no question we consider the shliach to just be adding to what the mishaleach told him, meaning that the sale of the lesach will be valid. Because after all, he was told to sell a lesach, and he sold a lesach. Now he went beyond what he was supposed to. So the part where he went beyond is not a valid sale, but the first part where we sold the lesach, that would for sure be valid. Kiti boiloch, in the second version, the question is, da'omale zil zabinle kura v'ozo v'zabinle lisfa. What if the other way around? What if Reuven says, sell a base kura of my land, and Shimon goes and sells only a half a base kura, lesach? So now, in the second version, the question would be, what would be the din? Mia minin omalei de tovalach adilach. Can the shliach say, after all, you shouldn't void the sale that I did? After all, what I did ended up being good for you. De ilam et starchilach zuzi leimotzis hadrasvei. Suppose I would have sold a whole kur like you said. Now, suppose it turns out, for whatever reason, that you don't need the money. Then you wouldn't have been able to change your mind. You wouldn't be able to go to the guy and say, you know what, I really found out I only needed to sell half a lesser. You wouldn't be able to, because tough luck, you sold the whole thing. Like this, I did you a favor that I'll still find a buyer for the other lesach, and I'll sell it at the fair. I'll sell it at the same value so you don't lose out from that. But like this, you have the ability to be able to undo part of the sale. Now, we actually learned in the Gemara the other day. We learned in the Gemara the other day over Yom Tov and Daf Tzedek Zayin, we had a din where a person sells property because he intends to buy something else with it, and it turns out that something else falls through, so we said he can undo the sale. The difference is that there we're talking about where he explicitly says, Tosfos explained over there, that it means that he explicitly sells, he explicitly says, I'm selling my property in order to buy such and such. And therefore, if that such and such is no longer available because the other seller doesn't want to sell it anymore, then we can say that he can undo the original sale. But here we're talking about that he wouldn't necessarily have said anything. Nevertheless, so the shliach is saying to him, so if I had sold the entire base core, then you would be stuck. If you had that extra money, you wouldn't have anything to do with it. Like this, I did you a favor, and I sold only half. And like this, once the other half is sold, they're two separate sales, and you have the ability to undo one rather than the other, or to not even sell the other one at all. Or maybe not. Maybe the Meshaleach can tell him, maybe the Meshaleach can tell him, that's true, but I don't want that there should be a lot of shtoris against me. Now, there could be a few different reasons why he doesn't want that. One reason is because if it Tosfos discusses on Amud Beis, one potential reason might be because if there were many shtaris about him that he's sold property, that people are going to think, you know what, look at this. The guy is desperate for money. He's selling so much to so many different people. So therefore, now when people want to buy from him in the future, they're gonna demand the discount. They're gonna say, because obviously you're selling your property because you're in a bad way financially. So therefore, they're going to expect that they can get it for a lower price. Then Tosfos discusses maybe that's not the issue over here, but rather we can be talking about, for example, that there are, he's going to say it's a bother every time. You have to go get Edim, you have to get a sofer and so forth to write a different shtar. I don't want that. So therefore, so maybe can he make such a claim and say, therefore, that you shliach, you were supposed to sell the full base core at a time. Don't think, don't try to second guess me and think you're doing me any favors. The fact is now you've caused that there are more shtaris, which again, either means that now people know that I'm in a bad way financially, or it just means each shtar is a whole bother itself to write, to find Edim, to find a sofer, to make a kinyan, and so on and so forth. So what's the din? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina Misura Toshma. We're going to bring a proof again from another din in connection with the din of Me'ilah. So we said yesterday that the rule is if a shliach sends him a shaleach to do something that is going to involve that where he forgets that there's me'ilah involved, so he's using money or an object or whatever of hekdesh. So we said if the shliach does exactly what the mishaleach told him, then it's the mishaleach who's going to be chayev for me'ilah. He's the one who's going to have to pay the keren b'chomesh and bring the korban asham. If the shliach deviated from what the mishaleach told him, then it's the shliach who's going to be chayev for me'ilah. So yesterday we had talked about that in connection with where the shliach had been moisif al dvarav, where the balabas had told him, give one piece of meat each to the orchim, and he went offered them two each. So now we're going to have the other way around, toshma. So let's bring a proof from the Mishnah in Me'ilah. The Mishnah says, nosim le'dinah shel zahav, if the mishaleach gave the shliach a gold dinner, which is equal to 25 silver dinner, and 25 silver dinar, in turn, there are four dinar to the seller. So therefore, this equals, so Rashi says this equals six seller. Tosfos points out that actually it's slightly more, because if there's 25 silver dinar to the gold dinar, and there are four dinar to a seller, then it actually comes out to 6 1/4 seller. So Tosfos says, okay, but the fact is that when you're exchanging money, you have to pay the money change or a fee, and therefore that fee winds up eating up the 25th dinner. Other mafoshim say, okay, you know, we're rounding off. We're saying six. We're going to talk about six sloyim, even though really in principle it would be 6 1/4. Whatever the case, the amaloi Ruven says to Shimon the shliach, "Havi li choluk, go buy me a shirt with this gold dinner, which is equal to six, which is equal or approximately equal to six seller." The holach behavior like b'sholosh choluk or b'sholosh talis. Instead, the shliach brought him back a shirt which is worth 3 sloyim and a talus which is worth another 3 sloyim. So then the din is, the Mishnah says, shneim malu, both of them have committed me'ilah. The mishaleach has committed me'ilah because the gold dinner that he sent belonged to Hekdesh. And the fact is a shirt was bought for him, which is what he wanted. And the shliach committed me'ilah as well. Again, we're talking about both of them. It was b'shogeg because that's when the dinim of me'ilah apply mainly. So neither one knew that it was a gold dinner of hekdesh. But both of them have committed me'ilah. The shliach for the mishaleach for the fact that a shirt was bought, which is what he wanted, and the shliach for the fact that a talus was bought, which he wasn't supposed to buy. So now the Gemara says, now, if you say that in such a case where a shliach exceeds what he was supposed to do, and you're saying that it's considered that he's doing the balabas's shlichos and adding to it, well, that explains why the balabas is considered to have done me'ilah, because after all, the shliach did accomplish what he wanted to. He wanted him to buy a towel. He wanted him to buy a shirt. He bought him a shirt. He also bought him something extra. That's true. And for that reason, because he bought something extra, is why the shliach also committed me'ilah. But nevertheless, you can't say that the mishaleach's intention was completely undone. So then applying that to our case over here. So if he was supposed to have sold a core's worth of land, and instead he sold a lesef, if we were to say that the sale is valid, then fine. Eli amit mavir al dvarim habi. But if you say that the shliach in a case like that is considered to have violated, is considered to have altered completely what the mishaleach told him. And in fact, Tosfa says the same way as with fields, we just said maybe he has an argument to say I don't want extra shtaris. The same way with the shirt, he has an argument over here. I wanted a shirt worth 6 sela, and instead he brought me a shirt that's worth only 3 sela. So if you say that on my mal, then why has he committed me'ila? Now, so actually Rashi says there's not the reason of a pushy shtori. There's not the reason of having lots of shtoris. But nevertheless, the fact is he didn't do the shlichus. Tosfos says that actually it would be considered like the equivalent of a pushy shtori, because the fact is he brought him a shirt worth only 3, where he expected a shirt worth 6. Either way, the point is that why don't we say the and yet we seem to be saying that the shliach accomplished the mishaleach's shlichus to the extent where the mishaleach, the balabas, is chayav from Eila. So that would answer our question then. If he sold only a lesech when he was supposed to sell a kor, the answer would be that to that extent that he sold that lesech, it is valid. So the Gemara says not necessarily, because hocha mayaskinen da isil is shavish sheish b'shalosh. Because what we could be talking about is that in the end he did bring a shirt that was worth 6, but he was able to buy it for only 3. So he told him to buy a shirt that's worth 6 sela. He bought him a shirt that's worth 6 sela. As it happens, the mishaleach was able to bargain with the vendor and get him down to 3 sloim. So you can't say that the balabas's shlichus wasn't accomplished. So the question is, yochi shliach amai mal. So in that case, then what are you going to say? Then what is the shliach committed meila? Then in that case, the whole 6. Then in that case, he did exactly his shlichus. And the rule is, when he did his shlichus exactly, then the mishaleach is the one who's chayiv, not the shliach. We said that's a unique thing in Torah. Usually ain't shliach l'dvar avera, but me'ila is one of the rare exceptions. And the Gemara says, okay, a talis. The fact is that he had no business spending any money on a talis, because the mishaleach told him to spend money only on a shirt. So he decided, so that was on his own das, not on das balabais, so he can be chayev from Me'ila for the 3 that he spent on that. Well, the question is, Yehochi, if you're going to understand it like that, if we're going to talk about the scenario is where he was sent with 6 sela to buy a shirt, and instead he was able to buy a 6 sela shirt for 3 sloim, because he was able to bargain down the seller. And now he decided, you know what, I have an extra 3 sloim, let me go ahead and buy a talus with it. And we're saying, because of that, he's chayav me'ila, but ema sefer. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af bazeh balabais le'mal. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in this case, the balabas has not committed me'ila. The af bazeh is actually the earlier part of the Mishnah, describes where a person sent a shliach to the store with a pruta telling him to buy him an esrog. We're obviously not talking about the esrog, the kind of esrog that you use on Sukkot, that would be worth a lot more than a pruta. We're talking about an esrog some other time of the year where the guy just wants it to make esrog jelly or whatever. And instead, the guy bought him an esrog plus a pomegranate. So Rabbi Yehuda says there that he hasn't committed me'ila because the fact is he did get his esrog. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, af bazeh balabais le'mal, also in our case of the talus and the shirt, the balabais has not committed me'ila, mipnei yochol loyma, because he can say, cholok gadol ha'isi mevakish, I wanted a large shirt, and you brought me one which is small and bad. So now Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are not arguing about the facts of the case. They're arguing what the din would be. But in other words, if Rabbi Yehuda is using the expression that he can say, you brought me a bad shirt, doesn't that imply that he bought him a shirt that was worth less than 6? Because if he bought him one that's worth 6, how can the guy say it's cotton bara? He wanted a shirt that's worth 6, which is large and nice, and that's exactly what he got him. Why should he call it cotton bara just because the guy paid less for it? Well, the Gemara says that's exactly what it means. My ra, the word ra means ra bedamin, means it's bad as far as the purchase price. De omale, because the Balabas can still tell him, says Rabbi Yehuda, E Isis Libashis, if you had used the whole six to buy the shirt like you were supposed to, Koshikin to have a Shavi Tartisrei, then in fact, I would have been able to get a shirt that's worth 12. In fact, it actually says 12 means sloyim dolim. It doesn't just mean regular sloyim. It means 12. It means 12 large sloyim. In other words, you would have been able to get something that's worth more than twice as much, because it's usually the way when you buy something, when you're spending more money than the vendor, is more likely to give you something larger, something even larger, for the fact that you're buying from him. So in other words, the Balabas, Reuven, can tell the Shliach, Shimon, listen, you spent only 3. So therefore, the guy figured, you know what, fine, I'll give you 50% off, I'll give you something that would have been worth 6, and I'll give it to you for 3. But instead, if you had spent the whole 6 like you were supposed to, he would have given you something worth even more than 12. He would have given you more than a 50% discount because you're spending more money by him. So therefore, I can call that Ra. I can call that you gave me something... Now you gave me something bad. Tosfos discusses actually that. So therefore, it can't be considered that the Balabais's intention was accomplished, because he's saying if I had known the guy's willing to give such a discount, then I would have definitely wanted that you would spend the whole 6 zuz and you'd get something worth even more than 12. So Tosfos discusses various gersois over here. We're talking about. Where there are different gersois over here that Rashi explains, it means 12 larger sloyim than normal. Some kisveyad actually explicitly say more than 12. Whatever the case, so that's the point. So, and in fact, the Gemara says dekanami. We see that from the wording of the Mishnah, that when Rabbi Yehuda says ra, he doesn't mean objectively the shirt is bad because it's only a three seller shirt. That he does in fact mean that it is worth 6, but the fact is I expected you to spend the whole 6 and then you could have gotten something even nicer. Dikotani, because the Mishnah also continues there, Moedet of Yehuda, Moedet of Yehuda bekitnes sheshneim malu. Now, the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Yehuda will agree when it comes to buying beans, that if he bought different kinds of beans with if he spent the 6 seller, some of it on beans and some of it on other things, Shashneim Malu, that then Rabbi Yehuda says both of them have in fact committed Me'ilah. And the reason is Shach Kitnis Besela, but Kitnis Bepruta. Because when it comes to beans, people don't give discounts. The same amount you would get for this for a seller, the same amount proportionally you would get for a pruta. So, unlike, for example, with a shirt or other things like that, where the more you're spending, the more the guy is likely to discount it, with beans, it's not like that. Whatever amount you could buy for a pruta, the same amount you would be able to buy proportionately. There are 768 prutas in a seller. So if you're able to buy, let's say, 1 pound of beans for a pruta, then you're able to buy 768 pounds for a seller. Nobody gives discounts on that. So therefore, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain. So now the point is, why would Rabbi Yehuda be making that distinction? If you're going to tell me that if as we assumed originally that the word ra means that he actually bought him something that was less expensive than he expected a six seller shirt, and instead he bought him a 3 seller shirt, then why would there be a difference between that and beans? The fact is, either way, he bought him something that he didn't want. He wanted a 6 seller shirt and he's buying him a cheaper shirt. Now that we understand that Rabbi Yehuda is drawing the distinction, that the Tanakhama is saying the fact is he did buy him a 6 seller shirt. The guy is just disappointed because he's saying you could have bought me a shirt that's worth more than 12 seller with that amount of money. Fine, but the Tanakhama is going to say nevertheless his original intention was fulfilled because he does have a 6 seller shirt. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no, it's ra because it's ra bedamin, because you could have gotten me a more expensive shirt for the same amount of money. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, where you don't have that distinction, when it comes to beans, where you're always going to get the same amount for based on the amount that you spent, rather, there's not going to be any discounts, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that the mishaleachs to the extent that so now we have the guy spent three sloim on beans and three sloim on something else. The fact is the mishaleach can't tell him this is rabadamim because it's three sellers worth of beans. Whatever you can buy with three seller is what he's buying. You can't say you would have been able to buy better quality beans or four saw or you would have been able to buy four seller worth of beans or whatever. So therefore that forces us to understand Rabbi Yehuda's ra as not meaning that he's saying the shirt is objectively bad because it's worth less than six. He's saying it's rabadamim. You did badly with the money because you should have spent more money. You should have spent all the money, like I told you, and then you would have gotten an even nicer shirt. So when that doesn't apply, as in the case of beans, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with the chacham. And so the Gemara says shmamina. So that proves it. So now, in fact, let's figure out what that case is with the beans. Hechidami, what's the scenario? Are we talking about a place where they sell beans by estimation? In other words, so they don't have a fixed price per unit. They are going to give discounts for volume. Well, then wouldn't it be exactly the same thing as a shirt? If he had spent the entire seller, or in this case, the entire six sloim, then they would have given him a larger amount of beans. So then it would be exactly the same as the shirt. So I'm going to pop a ba'astra de kaili b'kani. No, what we're talking about is a place where they measure by kani, which are small containers, the amalei kana kana b'pruta, and the vendor tells him that each kana, each of these little containers, is worth a pruta. So there are no discounts for volume. It's one pruta per kana, regardless of the number of kanas that you bought. So that would be why Rabbi Yehuda makes the distinction and says in that case the balabas has committed meila because he sent him with a gold dinner of hektish, and the guy did buy with some of it. He bought beans at a rate where if he had spent the entire thing, he would have gotten more beans proportionally, but it wouldn't have been disproportionately more. Unlike in the case of the shirt, where when he spends only half of it on the shirt, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying the mishaleach can say that you should have spent more on the shirt and you would have gotten disproportionately more. So the point is that we don't really have proof from that case of Me'ila to our case where he told him to sell a kur and instead he only sold a lesech. We were saying, on the one hand, the mishliach can say that I did better for you. On the other hand, the mishaleach can say I don't want more shtaris. So we still have the question open. So the Gemara continues, Toshma, well, let's try to bring a proof from our Mishnah again. We said if her ksuba was 400 zuz, machra lezeba mana lezeba mana, she started selling to different people at one a mana's worth of land for a mana each. Well, achon yofa mana bedinim b'mana, and then the last one she took a piece of property that was worth 101 that should have been worth 101. And sold it for only 100. So we said shall achren bottle. So the only the last one is bottle. Shall kulan michran kayim. All the previous sales are valid. Now, on the face of it, again, she's acting kind of as a shliach on behalf of the yoshin because she's supposed to be collecting huksuba from their estate. So in effect, when she's selling this property, she's acting on their behalf. Now she's supposed to be selling 400. And we're saying that she sold 100 at a time, which is exactly the same as the case where he tells him to sell a kur and he sells only a lesser. And we're saying the earlier sales are valid. So wouldn't that show that in the case of the shliach and the mishaleach also the sale is valid? The Gemara says not necessarily. Kid omer of shisha breder of idi biktini, as we find further down on the omer, where of shisha breder of idi explains that we're talking about right before the Mishnah, at the end of the omer, we're going to say of shisha breder of idi says that we're talking about small plots of land which are not near each other, so to begin with you don't expect to sell them all to one person. So in other words, we're talking about the Yisoimim have Yaushin 100 dinars worth of land over here, 100 dinars worth over there. It's not one contiguous field. So realistically, when you sell them, you're anyway not going to be selling them to one person. They anyway expect that it's going to be sold piecemeal. So if Shisha Breder of Idi says that that's the case, our Mishnah is talking about, as we're going to explain further down on the Amud. So in that case, yeah, obviously, then in the case of Reuven and Shimon, if Reuven owns widely scattered pieces of land, then he can't reasonably expect Shimon to find one buyer for all of them. So that's reasonable enough for Shimon to sell them piecemeal. And the same way with the Almana over here. That doesn't prove that if the Yesomim had one big contiguous piece of property, which is worth 400, and she decided to sell it off as smaller plots, that should work. Maybe not necessarily. Okay. So the Gemara now takes up now the Gemara is going to revisit this matter of, we talked about on Amud Aleph, about selling, where he tells the shliach to sell a kur, and he sells a lesser. So now we're going to be revisiting that, but in a different angle. Pshita, omel echad v'lo l'shnayim. It's obvious, let's start with, that if Reuven tells Shimon, the shliach, I want you to sell a base kur l'echad v'lo l'shnayim, he says, I want you to sell it to one buyer. I specifically do not want you to sell it to two buyers. Then, obviously, if he sells only a lesech, then ha'omala echad b'lo l'shnayim, then the fact is, he explicitly said that it's only valid if you sell it to one, not to two. So in other words, so we mentioned on Aleph the point about pushy shtori, the fact that he doesn't want more shtoris out against him for the various reasons that we discussed. So then, so we can say that in this case, he made it clear to begin with that he doesn't want a pushy shtori, and therefore that the sale would be void. So now Rashi is going to explain that the discussion we're going to have in the Gemara over here is that this is kind of a continuation of the previous discussion, but we're talking about if he didn't say specifically how many people he wants him to sell it to. So can we say maybe after all that the sale is valid? But Tosfos asks, though, the fact is we kind of left the question open over there. So how, in our Gemara, Rav Chista and Rav Bar Avuna are going to give a flat out answer to it. So there are Rishonim who say that so before the question was, can we prove it from a Mishnah or a Braisa, and we weren't able to. So now the question is, what did the Amoraim themselves say about it? But Tosfos discusses. The reason before we were talking about where there were actually two separate shtaris, here we're talking about Tosfos brings a couple of explanations. First, Tosfos brings from a bit of time before we were talking about where they had not yet written the shtaris. Here we're talking about the shtaris are already written, so therefore, if the problem of Apushi shtari is that it's a bother to make up more shtaris, well, now it's not a bother because the shtaris are already written. So now the question is, he would say, maybe still, I still don't want more bali dinim. Ultimately, if it happens, let's say these properties get taken away in payment of other debts of mine, then it means I'm going to have to deal with two different people in Beis Din, and I don't want to do that. So before, the question would be if the shtaris hadn't been written yet, here the question would be if the shtaris have already been written. Then Tosfos goes on to bring another answer that before we were talking about where there were two separate shtaris, here we're talking about it's one shtar. So they write one shtar that says, I've sold half this property to Levi and half this property to Yehuda. And so then there's no Apushi shtari, but nevertheless, there still are more bali dinim. So that would be a different question. And then there are different Rishonim talk about it. Tosfos brings from Ben Hananel, different Gersa in the Gemara. In his Gersa, even if he just says Echad, automatically implies below the Shnayim. And the question in our Gemara would be if he didn't say at all how many people to sell it to. So Tosfos also mentions then, brings from Abhai Goin and the Rif, who say that actually it means that we haven't really answered the earlier question in the Gemara, and now the Gemara is starting a new discussion that's not related to the previous one again, because like we said, this case that we're talking about over here might be a new scenario where the shtaris have already been written versus not written yet, or one shtar versus two shtaris. So the Rif says that actually the halacha in the earlier one had not been paskin, but we would end up paskining that the shliach is considered maver al dvarav if he sells less than he was supposed to, then it is considered maver al dvarav. And Rishonim discussed that back and forth. Is that in fact the case? Or again, is our Gemara over here a continuation of the previous one? And the answer is we are in fact answering after all what the halacha is in that case. Anyway, so the Gemara says, So now let's start out. If he said sell, if he's explicitly said sell to one, not to two, then obviously it means he's machbid. You can't sell to two. What about omalei le'echad stama mai? What if he just told him generically sell to one, but he didn't say not to two? Does that mean that he's saying gili das? I dafka want you to sell to one. Do not sell to any more than one potential buyer, or not? So Rav Huna omal echad gali l'shnayim. Rav Huna says when he says one, that itself implies that he doesn't want to sell to two, because we said before apushi shtara, or even if as Tosfos said in one of their answers, we're not talking about that there's extra shtaras. There's the fact that there's extra baladin, and that's reason enough for him to not want. Rav Chista, v'rava barav huna, da'amri tabai l'echad b'afilu l'shnayim. On the other hand, Rav Chista, and l'echad b'afilu l'meya, on the other hand, Rav Chista and Rav barav huna say that no, when he says l'echad and he doesn't specify that he means only one, then it can mean one, and not, it can mean one or even two or even 100, because he didn't specify, so he didn't say, most people, Rashi explains, are not makbid. Even when he says sell to one person, it still doesn't mean he's machbid dafka on one person. That's just a normal way of talking. If he meant I want you to sell to only one person, he would have said so explicitly. So the Gemara says, Ikla Rab Nachman l'sura. Rab Nachman one time visited Surah. These two chachamim, Rav Chista and Rav Bar Avuna, who said that when he says that I want you to sell to one, it doesn't necessarily imply, but not to more than one. So they came to visit him. What is the din in this case? We hold that the sale is valid because he didn't explicitly say don't sell to more than one. But what do you say? So they tell them exactly what you said. It means that one can mean even to two, even to 100. He wasn't machbid, otherwise he would have clearly said only to one. So they ask him, does that mean, now if you're saying that the sale is valid, does that mean even if the shliach made a mistake? So we talked about before where the shliach, so what happens if the shliach undervalued the property and sold it below market value? If you're telling us, Rav Nachman, that it doesn't matter as long as the balabas didn't explicitly give him instructions, then it's up to the shliach's discretion to do whatever he wants. So then maybe are you going to say that also even if he makes a mistake, that should be valid? Rav Nachman says, no, if the shliach made a mistake, I'm not talking about that. That's different. Here, we assume that the average person is not machbid how many people his fields are sold to. On the other hand, he does want that he should get the fair market value for his property. So we would assume he's machbid on that. So they ask him, Omrulay, so they say to him, V'ha'omamar, but didn't you, Rebbe, say, Ein oinah l'kakos? There's no oinah when it comes to, karka, no matter how much or little karka is sold for. We talked about the other day, in fact, where the Almana in our Mishnah sold 200 zuz worth of karka for 100 or vice versa. And we discussed Tosfos brought over there from Yerushalmi why we don't apply the rule of Einah. So he was saying, because Einah does not apply to land. To a certain extent, it's because of Gzeres HaKosu, because when the Pasuk describes the dinim of Einah, it mentions it in connection with sales of movables in the Tautlin, Dovran Niknam Yad L'Yad. There's a logical reason that Rishonim give about it, because land is worth whatever a person wants to pay for it, to a certain extent, you know, depending on the location of it, then the price may go up or down. In fact, by the way, Rashi mentions this is actually a Mishnah. So Tosfos says, in that case, then why do we have the Girsa Omamar? Why they're telling him you Rebbe said, then we should say Vahotznan. And in fact, Tosfos prefers that Girsa that they're telling him Vahotznan. Don't we learn in a Mishnah that Eino Nala Kakos? So in other words, so if the Shliach made a mistake, so what if he made a mistake? The fact is that there's no Einah for Karka, so therefore it shouldn't matter whether he sold it at the wrong price. Nevertheless, the sale should be valid. So he answers them, Hanimili Hefer Tar Balabais. That's if the owner of the property himself made a mistake and sold it for the wrong price. Then we say, Eino Nala Kakos, even though, let's say, this property was supposed to be worth 200 and he sold it for only 100, we're still not going to say that there's Einah. He still can't undo the sale because we say, Eino Nala Kakos. Aval Tar Shliach. But if the Shliach makes a mistake, even less than the threshold for Einah, then then the Balabas can tell him that Takunish Dauticha Vloy Laavsi, I sent you in order to fix things up for me, not in order to mess things up for me. So in other words, the fact that the Shliach sold it at the wrong value means that he can undo the sale, because he's saying the Shliach only had the right to act on my behalf only if he was going to be selling it for the proper price. So there is a difference between that versus selling to X number of people, where they were saying the average person is not makbid on that, and therefore if he sells it to two people, and even though the guy told him one, as long as he didn't tell him exclusively one, or even if he sold it to 100, then Reb Nachman says it could still be valid. And the Gemara says, when we're not tamer to shiny ben shliach the balabayas, where do you get this from, that there should be a difference between the shliach and the balabayas in terms of mistakes, that we would say that there are cases where the balabayas makes a mistake and he can't undo it, but a shliach makes the same mistake and we could. So we have an example. We have an example from the dinim of truma. If a person tells the shliach, go take truma from my produce, and it has to be, by the way, that he tells the shliach to do that, because you can't take truma from somebody's produce without his rishus. So he tells him, go do that. So then, turdim kadas balabayas, then he should give truma according to what he knows the balabayas usually does. Now, you have those three different minatoda. You can give even one grain from a whole heap of grain, and you yotze the mitzvah of truma. Midrabanan, you have amounts. You have a generous person gives 1/40th, an average person 1/50th, a stingy person gives 1/60th. So whatever the shliach knows that the mshaleach would usually do is the amount that he should be taking off for truma. If he doesn't know how much the balabayas usually gives, then he should follow the average, which would be 1 out of 50. But if he did 10 less or 10 more, so Rashi explains the less and the more means as far as the denominator of the fraction. So instead of 1/50th, he did 1/40th. 40 is less than, is 40 is 10 less than 50. So it's a larger amount of truma, but we mean piches in the sense that the fraction has a smaller denominator, and hoisif would be the other way around, where he gave 1/60th instead, where the denominator is larger, 60 instead of 50. Tosfos discusses in other places in Shas the other way around, that piches asara would mean he gave 1/60th, which is an actual smaller amount. Hoisif asara would be he gave 1/40th. Whatever the case, the Mishnah says, truma se truma. The truma is still valid because, after all, the shliach can say, you know what, I figured that you're that kind of person. I figured you're the kind of person who would give 1/40th. I figured you're the kind of person who would give 1/60th. So therefore, we can't say that he did his shlichus wrong. We're actually going to learn that in the Gemara tomorrow as well. So we're saying that the shliach is limited within that range. He can give between 1/40th and 1/60th, but not more or less than that. The ilu gabi balabayas tanya. But when it comes to the balabayas himself, we learn in a braisa toram. If the balabayas took truma, but all the biyode afilo echad me'esrim, he wound up taking even 1/20th, which is far more than even the generous kind of truma. And by the way, you can't measure out truma exactly. You're not supposed to go and measure the heap of grain and then take out the exact percentage. You're supposed to estimate it. So here he misestimated and he ended up taking 1/20th, which is 2 or 3 times as much as he was supposed to. Nevertheless, truma se truma, his truma is valid. So we see that even though the shliach is limited to a narrow range, the balabas is not. Why? Because when it comes to a shliach, he can tell him, as we said before, the takoni shtarticha v'lela avsi, I sent you to fix things up for me, not to mess things up for me. So once you gave more than 1/40th or less than 1/60th, then that's messing up. As opposed to the balabayas himself, it doesn't matter. So we see that there is that difference. So the same way, if the shliach sells the property for less or for the wrong price, then we can consider that he messed up, and therefore the sale can be undone. As opposed to, again, the original question was, we had when the balabas told him sell to one person, where if he doesn't say it to only one person, then it means generally you assume he's not makbid, then fine, and that he's not makbid, and therefore the shliach has not really changed what he said when he sells it to more people. So the Gemara brings Toshma. Again, let's try to bring the proof from our Mishnah. If a woman's ksuba was 400 zuz, so she started selling piecemeal 100, 100, And then eventually at the end, when she has a balance due of 100, she takes a piece of property worth 101 and sells it for 100. We said, shall achren batel, shall kolon michren kayim. We say only the last sale is no good, but all the other ones, the sale is still valid. Now, so wouldn't that show that therefore that, so now when we had the machlokas before of Rav Huna versus Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, whether if you sell to more than one person, if he said sell to Echad, does that automatically mean that he means only one person, where Rav Huna had said that yes? The fact is, we see now, it's true that the Yesoimim themselves have not said one way or the other, but we, the Beis Din, should be acting on behalf of the Yesoimim. We should assume that a pushy shtori is an issue, having more shtoris is an issue, and we don't want them to have that. And therefore, we, Beis Din, should be preventing them from selling the land piecemeal, and yet we're not doing that. So that would show that a person can never claim a pushy shtori. You can never claim that having more shtoris is a problem for me, which would mean not like Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, so here's where the Gemara says, which we brought before on the Amud of Shisha Bredid of Ini, Bektini, so Rav Shisha Bredid of Ini says, no, that's not a proof, because our Mishnah could be talking about small and scattered plots of land, where to begin with, it's obvious you're going to be selling them to different people, because you're not going to find one person who's going to buy all of them. So, but that doesn't necessarily prove that if it was all one big field of 400 and she sold it piecemeal, then Rav Chista might in fact say, that sale is invalid because we, the Beis Din, can argue on behalf of the Yesoimim that they don't want more shtaris out against them. Or even as Tosfos said earlier, even if it was all in one shtar, they don't want more bala dinim against them. Nevertheless, in the end, the halacha is like Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, especially because Rav Nachman agreed with them as well. And therefore, the halacha is that if the Meshaleach says sell to one person, that doesn't necessarily mean that he means exclusively one person, unless he says so. And therefore, if the Shliach sells to more than one person, then it is valid. Then it is valid with the Eved. On the other hand, with the case that we had on Omen Aleph, where he only sells a Lesech, then that's no good. Then he does have a valid claim of lipshu shtori yilavoi, that now there's more shtoris against me, and therefore so because he, to begin with, he told him to sell a kur, so therefore the guy has to sell the entire kur and not only piecemeal. Okay,
yeah.